All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Along with producer Aaron Zomerston Madison, welcome back. This is the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, April 25th. Coming up this hour, the new life of a forgotten hero. Chippewa Falls teacher and author John Kinville has published a new book that recounts the life of one of Wisconsin's first World War II casualties. Through letters that he had sent to family and friends, Harry Kramer painted a picture of life in Chippewa Falls during that pre-war depression era period when his decision to pursue a career in the Navy led to a battleship that would eventually be stationed in Pearl Harbor. So we will visit with John shortly about that book and the other that he has written about history here in our part of the state. Chad Holmes will join us from Bull Falls Radio coming up near the end of the hour to talk about what's been happening up in the Bull Falls Radio Wausau market and the guests that he's had. I know Katie Rosenberg, the mayor of Wausau, was on recently, so we'll ask him about that conversation as well. Tomorrow on this show, State Representative Alex Jores will be here. On Thursday, Senator Tammy Baldwin will be talking to us about getting a regional tech hub in Wisconsin. It's part of the CHIPS Act, which is all about bringing back semiconductor manufacturing to the U.S. so that we're less reliant on foreign companies and foreign nations for our technology equipment. And that will involve having these regional technology hubs to do research. And of course, Wisconsin is primed for that. So Senator Baldwin will talk to us on Thursday about that. Also on Thursday, Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She will have Beth Heller, the Director of Strategic Partnerships for Wello, and they will talk about farm-to-school programs and making sure that kids have, you know, the nutrition that they need, especially if it can come from locally grown sources. And what a difference in attitude that is compared to, say, North Dakota, where the legislature recently voted against extending free school lunches and breakfast to kids, but then voted the other day to give themselves free meals. So they now get to eat on the taxpayers' dime. All their meals are reimbursed, but kids, no, not so much. So we'll talk about the farm to school program on Thursday, a better approach, shall we say, of how we're treating our kids. A reminder that whenever you hear any of the stories or guests we're talking about, you can call us at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And our email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And a quick note that if you can't hear us on the radio live or follow our live video feed on Facebook, you can also listen to this show as a podcast. That's right. We got our feet on both sides of the divide here, radio show and podcast. We turn each hour of Civic Media radio shows into a podcast episode. And so if you go to civicmedia.us, you can go to the page marked shows and you can go to, say, I don't know, Up North News Radio. Yeah. And you can see each hour our episodes, the 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. hours today, for example, and you can listen to them right there on the website, or you can subscribe to them as a podcast, and then each hour will come to you, however you've got your podcasts set up. So we hope that you will take us with you wherever you're able to go, hopefully live on the radio, but you got plenty of other options as well. I want to take note that there was a news story out of the Milwaukee area that talked about a collision between a train and a FedEx truck. And I just wanted to correct the record from a couple of media reports that talked about how, you know, there was a collision between a train and a FedEx truck. It's not really a collision. It's not like both forms of transportation were at fault. The better headline is FedEx truck gets smooshed by a train because the driver couldn't look left or right at a private crossing. But thankfully the truck driver wasn't hurt. But if you see the video, packages scattered everywhere. So your FedEx package might be a little delayed if it was part of that particular shipment. Now, coming up week after next, I believe, is National Teachers Week. And we're going to be asking you over the next week or so here, who was the most influential teacher in your life and why? And we're hoping that folks will either give us a little audio clip that we can, you know, play on the radio, or a video clip that we'll play over at Up North News. Just a very brief thing that says, the teacher I remember most is so-and-so, and then tell us why that is. We'd love to hear from you as we get set to mark National Teachers Week coming up. To that end, here's one of those teachers now. We're just going to say hi to him real quick, take a break, and then get our formal interview started. But this is teacher John Kinville from Chi High. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I've known John for a number of years now, and I haven't heard much from him lately, because the guy went from turning into a teacher, into full-fledged author. And, and also does a program called Flags for the Fallen at Chi High. And that's really, really what led to this. I've only got about, 30 seconds here, John, but can you tell me, or have you been satisfied with the response to the book so far?
Oh yeah. The response to the book has been fantastic. And it's so, so neat to see people in Chippewa Falls wanting to know, who was this Harry Kramer guy? Mm-hmm. And also, who are the other soldiers who died in the various wars from our city? But the response has been overwhelming.
That's great. We see all of these memorials about, the war dead, and we sometimes forget there are very vibrant lives behind each of those names. And so we're going to take a break. We're going to talk, get the full weatherology forecast, a little bit of sports, and then our conversation with John Kinville coming up in just a sec on this Tuesday morning here on Up North News Radio. Continue our conversation with John Kinville in just a sec. First, a little sports and weather. It is finally official. Aaron Rodgers has been traded to the New York Jets. The era of love is upon us as Green Bay Packer fans. The Milwaukee Bucks just flat out fell apart in the fourth quarter last night in Miami and are now on the brink of elimination. Again, it is 3-1. Miami leading that series with the Bucks. Jimmy Butler had 56 points for Miami. Giannis was back in the lineup, but they had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter and just watched it go away. And the Brewers lost to the Tigers 4-2. Back at it tonight, then again Wednesday afternoon as they continue their homestand. Now let's go to weatherology, where meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky joins us to tell us about a forecast that continues to run, 10 degrees below normal or so, and we're just going to have to get used to that. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you're entirely right. I mean, we've been below average here for the past several days, and overall, looks like another below average day across the board again today, mid to upper 40s for most. Looks like cloudy skies to start off the day farther south, but then becoming mostly sunny. Sunny skies in the western parts of the state, and then just a slight chance for some rain in the afternoon today around Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, over to Oshkosh. Sunny skies and warmer for everyone tomorrow here for your Wednesday as a warm front begins to push through. Low to mid 50s for most, slightly cooler towards Lake Michigan. For Thursday, looks like warmer temperatures around about 60 to the mid 60s for everyone. Looks like some cloud cover coming in across the state and a dry forecast from Madison over to Milwaukee. Richland Center up to Wausau and then over to Amory and Baldwin, looking at chances for rain showers rolling through the area in the afternoon into the evening hours. About the same can be expected with temperatures and rain chances here for your Friday. Except for the western parts of the state where a cold front will begin to push through. Still a chance for some rain showers, however, temperatures dropping in the west by about 10 degrees. And then it looks like everyone else will start to see that the central and southern portions of the state once we get to the start of the weekend on Saturday.
All right, weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky, we appreciate it so much. Thanks for the updated forecast. Hope you have a great day. All right, let's continue our conversation with John Kinville, author, Chippewa Falls high school teacher, and the book. This is called Chippewa Falls World War II Hero Harry Kramer. Those of you watching on the live Facebook feed, I'm trying to hold it up and have completely forgotten that I used to work in TV because I can't seem to get the lighting or the camera just right, but you'll be able to find it. John, thanks again for being here. Let me tell you first, the website, it's johnkinville.com, right?
That is correct, Pat.
Yeah. So if nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this, and I'll put it on the screen here too, johnkenville.com. There we go. We'll put that up so that folks know that there is a place to go learn more about the book. You don't just have to go to some behemoth outlet to go get it, do you?
That's correct. And we're actually cheaper than Amazon, you know, tax included, autograph, the whole bit.
There you go. And you get to some of us were lucky enough to get a very nice inscription. All right, let's set this up properly. You're a teacher at Chippewa Falls High School.
Correct.
How did you go from being a teacher at Chippewa Falls to working to learn more about, you know, past Chippewa Falls students, who have passed away, and then have that go into a book? It sounds like the first step was that you learned about or started Flags for the Fallen.
Yeah. So I teach American government, Pat, to high school students. And as I've gone through my career, I wanted to look for something that would bring people together, bring students together, bring communities together. And oftentimes our government, our society can be very divided. And I've always had an interest in the military. And when I was in high school, I wanted to join the Air Force. And due to childhood asthma issues, I was not able to fulfill that dream. So I went into public service to be a teacher. So in 2009, a colleague and I decided to create this organization here at the school. It's voluntary. We don't get paid a dime. It's called Flags for the Fallen. And we had noticed that our school did not have a tribute to veterans or fallen veterans. And so we wanted to identify who are the servicemen and women who have died in the various wars from our high school here in Chippewa Falls. And so currently we have a list of 41 that died from our school, going back from the Civil War all the way to the War on Terrorism. And Harry W. Kramer was one of those 41. And so our club has been, and again, these are students who volunteer, but they volunteer their time to research who these men are, do the genealogy, and try to reach out to surviving descendants. And one of the soldiers who really piqued an interest with myself and the students was Harry W. Kramer, because he served in the Navy pre-World War II. And he lost his life on the USS California battleship as part of the December 7th, 1941 attack at Pearl Harbor. And so we were able to do some genealogy. We found some of his surviving descendants, including his niece, Evelyn. And Evelyn was gracious enough to drive up from La Crosse to meet with me and the students. And she had this box, and it was a box filled with everything that they had, the family had, on Harry Kramer. But what was interesting was that none of the surviving nieces and nephews, they didn't really know much about Harry, because his death had created such a tragic ripple effect that it just became easier to not talk about him. So his parents didn't talk about him. His brother didn't talk about him. His brother's wife didn't talk about him. And so the nieces and nephews, they knew that Uncle Harry was this person, but they didn't know much about him. And so now Flags to the Fallen, we then research these soldiers, and then we try to travel to places that are connected with their service and sacrifice. So twice now, I've taken students to Pearl Harbor, and we've gone to the Naval Base, we've gone to the museums, and also, we have gone to the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, otherwise known as the Punch Bowl, where Harry is buried. And so twice I've taken students there. And I actually have a group of 54, a whole bus. We're going back again to see Harry next summer, so summer of 2024. But it's been quite a ride, Pat, quite a ride.
Oh, I can scarcely imagine when I finish the book, and well before I finished the book, you know, what came to me was the fact that this was somebody who, in essence, in that metaphorical sense, you know, not the literal sense, you brought him back to life. You brought his life back because of that box of mementos, which included, was it 32 or 33 letters that are in there that he had written, or had gone back and forth, which is really the foundation of the book, is you start with these letters, but then you woven between them is your text about, you know, what was going on in the news, what would they have been reading about in the Chippewa Herald Telegram at the time.
But I can
scarcely imagine what it was like to read the letters in that box and to realize that this was an actual life, not just some name on a plaque, you know, but an actual life that you could tell people about.
You know, when I contacted the publisher with the idea, they said, you know, John, people love to read about Patton. They love to read about Eisenhower, but they may not be willing to read about an individual sailor from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, who, oh, by the way, was the first Chippewa County casualty in what would become World War II. And I told the publisher, I said, you know, I disagree with you a little bit, and here is my plan. The plan was, let's take the letters, they serve as the foundation, as you pointed out, and let's try to take him as a microcosm, a case study, if you will, and let's try to piece together the start to World War II from the perspectives of multiple stakeholders simultaneously. So we've got Harry, Harry's letters. He's going through the Navy. He's going aboard a battleship. He's becoming a very trusted member of the battleship crew on the California. And then you have his parents who are back home in Chippewa Falls, like so many parents back in Wisconsin, who are reading the daily drip of newspaper headlines in this obvious, this really obvious march to war that people just don't want to admit is happening.
No, and there's not, on top of that, this is still, the Depression is still going full bore, and Harry's father has been going, you know, from job to job. Things have not gone, you know, especially well for him. Harry decides his best path forward in this Depression era, while there are rumblings of, you know, war in Europe, is to seek a career in the U.S. Navy. And I don't want to give too much of the book away, but basically he signs up. They, you know, they all gather for Harry. They wish him well. And then you see these series of letters about hoping to come back home at some point, but he's joined the Navy. They've shipped him right out to California because, yep, you know, there's basically the ramp up to possible war. The preparations are there, even as the nation, like I said, in your narrative is like, hey, let's do everything possible to stay out of this, all going in the crux of this 1940 presidential election with Franklin Roosevelt running for an unprecedented third term. There's a lot to digest there for a young man, much less his parents.
Yeah, you know, 100%, Pat. And there's so many subplots within this book. I mean, you've got Harry, you've got his parents, you've got his brother and that relationship. And then you've got, like you said, the national politics. What I did was I read the Chippewa Herald and the Leader Telegram daily between this and from 1919 all the way to 1949, I think it was. So I tried to encapsulate everything that's happening. And as all these different subplots are ultimately colliding on December 7th, 1941. And yeah, some of the subplots are incredible. I mean, to this day, the only U.S. Senator from Chippewa Falls is Alexander Wiley. And so he's sort of butting heads with Roosevelt. And Franklin Roosevelt is an interesting figure in all this in terms of the book, because he can see clearly what's happening. And he doesn't have the War Powers Act of 1973, where he can, he still needs to go through Congress on a lot of this stuff back then. And so he's trying to mobilize as best that he can because he can see the threat, but he has to win re-election first. So he has to try to give this illusion that, oh, I'm not escalating for war. And then the ironic twist on how that impacts Harry is that in a normal setting, Harry, what would have happened to Harry as part of the enlistment process would have been similar to what happened to me. He would have been denied because he had an overbite. And that was something that, at, you know, if we weren't preparing for a war footing, he would have been rejected by the Navy. And due to the fact that there is an emergency order issued by the president that, hey, we need as many sailors as we can. And so they do waive the overbite issue. and Harry is allowed to join the service.
And so he does. He goes through everything that's basic. You get these letters, and again, no internet here, so sometimes there's a large gap between the letters where he has to fill things in. And by the way, it's not all serious. It's not all war. It's not all news. There's very much a social component to Harry's life, this kid from Depression-era Chippewa Falls, and living life on some very positive terms in Hawaii before the dark days of war. And we will continue that part of the conversation with John Kinville coming up in just a couple of minutes here. Reminder, you can catch what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Get our daily newsletter there by clicking newsletter in the top banner. We'll be right back.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All gave some. Some gave all.
We're continuing our conversation with John Kinville, Chippewa Falls High School teacher and author. And this book about Chippewa Falls World War II, Harry Kramer, is his second book. He's also written one about it was a women's auxiliary Ku Klux Klan unit in Chippewa Falls. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. And they called themselves the Gray Eagles. And there's actually a meeting because I tell you, Pat, that book is based upon the most complete WKKK file that probably exists in the United States today. And so I had their meeting minutes. I had their membership roster. I had their financial records, all that good stuff.
And just that reminder that this isn't just some deep Southern thing. It was the prevalence around the country. So that book is Gray Eagles that I want to come to at some point. And I also wanted to credit you on this book. The actual title is Chippewa Falls World War II Hero Harry W. Kramer. I don't know how many folks know about SEO, called search engine optimization for websites, but man, if you can put a title with all the keywords in here, Chippewa Falls, World War II, Harry Kramer, you have hit the SEO jackpot on this, which is good. It's easy to look up and good for people to find out more about Harry Kramer. So we were talking about his upbringing in Chippewa Falls, the decision to then join the Navy, to then be essentially rushed off to the battleship California, and then to go to Hawaii. And amongst all of the headlines and the speculation about whether America was going to be pulled into this war, you had sailors and others who were, in the armed forces being sent to faraway places. Harry Kramer, as a boy in Chippewa Falls, never dreamed he would be doing so much in Hawaii in terms of time on the beach and the dances and how much he loved music. And you really get that in the letters that he wrote back home.
You know, Harry was a good boy. He's like so many of our up north men and women who are joining the military. They come from good families. They're very stable. And they want to do the right thing. And Harry has an appetite for life. And being in the Depression, food is a tough commodity to get a hold of. And one of the things, and Pat, you read this, that he just loves all the food he gets to eat in the Navy.
The pineapple, for example.
Yes. And he discovered what I discovered, that they send all the junk pineapple to the mainland and they keep the good stuff for themselves. Mm-hmm. But he's having a blast. And back then, as it is today, but being stationed at Pearl Harbor was the creme de la creme. And part of that was sort of some built-in arrogance in the military that Pearl Harbor was immune to any type of a military attack because of its placement so far away from, we'll call it, the troubles in Japan. And so everybody's having a good time. And within this, though, Harry's also a very good boy. He's not getting involved with maybe the drunkenness that a lot of young men are prone to get involved in. He's not a party guy. He is very religiously devout. He loves to go to the different churches that are part of his faith when he goes to different leaves. He's a very studious young man. And as he takes his tests to achieve. services. And so that's been unexpected. I mean, there's no advertising pitch, but I think what these students are really gaining from it, just from my observations, is they do want a connection to our country. You know, I'm a hopeless romantic when it comes to the United States. And you can see behind me, I've got George Washington's my favorite figure. So I've got George Washington everywhere. And I love this country. And what I've always been drawn to with the military is that there's something very selfless, very honorable, and maybe the most selfless and most honorable than to either enlist and to donate your time to your country and to risk life and limb, but also if your country drafts you. And the fact that you would still go through the motions when your country needs you. And so to me, I've always been drawn to it because it really speaks to the best of who we are and what our country can be. And so people like Harry, at the end of the day, it in the military, it doesn't matter what your religion is to a great extent. It doesn't matter what your background is. It's a matter of you're part of the fighting force. And of course, on Pearl Harbor, you know, there's 2,403 enlisted and civilian deaths. And it galvanizes a country in a way that very few things have. And of course, we have that with 9/11 in my generation. So for me, with the students, a lot of it has to do with just letting them know that not everything has to be divisive, that not everything has to be an argument, that there are larger beliefs and values that unite us as Americans. And I've always believed that those who have died for this country can serve as a grounding point for all of us, just to remember what those basic values that bring us together as countrymen.
And hopefully in the process, in this day and age, a renewed reverence for democracy and no longer taking that for granted. We always like to say, we've been saying all our lives, that, you know, these men and women, you know, gave their lives for freedom, for democracy. And yet we see others in this day and age treat it, you know, in such a cavalier manner, and hopefully understand the sacrifices that these people made. Harry Kramer was one of them. We don't know the full story. We don't know exactly how Harry's story ends, which leads into why you said you were reading newspapers through 1949. In this day and age, we are expecting instant gratification, instant information about the news. And that's not how it worked for all the families who lost loved ones in Pearl Harbor.
No, I think, you know, there are specific reasons why Harry's family did not want to talk about Harry. And that's because he is immediately identified as one of the dead on the USS California. And the book kind of talks about where he probably was, how he probably met his fate. But the telegram, and I've got a copy of it. There's a picture of it in the book. There was no grand military entourage that arrived at the Kramer residence at 21 Well Street in Chippewa Falls about a week and a half after Harry died to inform them that he died. They received a telegram from Western Union, and the telegram was revealing but vague. And that was, your son has died. If a body is recovered, you know, we'll be in touch, so to speak. Please don't talk about any of this with anybody. It was very matter of fact. And it's just sort of weird to think about how it worked back then. And of course, there were so many. And so the military was not prepared for it. The Navy was not prepared for it. The War Department was not prepared for it. And so everything was happening on the fly. And then you have this family trying to deal with, well, did they get it right? Is he actually dead? Well, how do they know if he's dead if they haven't found a body? And the California sinks into the harbor. It's going to take several months before they're able to pump the water out. And presumably Harry's body is trapped inside the USS California. And so as they salvage the ship, and of course the California is going to be refloated, sent back to Washington State, refitted, fixed, upgraded, and it'll fight towards the end of World War II in the Pacific. But Harry's body is recovered. He's initially buried as unidentified. And then he's buried like some of the other victims in a temporary makeshift. There were two makeshift cemeteries in Honolulu. And then after the war, after we won, it's okay, we need to go back to the victims of Pearl Harbor and we need to create a more permanent burial spot. And so it's not until 1949 that all of a sudden the parents get another telegram out of the blue in which they say, we have identified based upon physical descriptors that this particular body, body X, I think it's 104, we believe is your son, Harry Wellington Kramer.
And it becomes, like you said, it's so matter of fact, it's impersonal. And yet they felt that reverence. They knew right away that their son had died, you know, in a noble cause for their country. It's when you say how they never talked about him, it was never that they weren't proud of him. Like you said, he was the good boy, but you know, this young man that they said goodbye to and hoped to welcome back someday, you know, now was never going to come back. And because he was that young, because he was, you know, he didn't marry, he didn't have children, so with no direct descendants, it was a case of, yes, you had this very vibrant life, but as soon as, you know, your immediate family passes away, what's left? I mean, even the original plaque at Chippewa Falls High School that mentioned his name and his loss at Pearl Harbor got put in a box at some point somewhere along the line and was returned to the family, which nowadays sounds, you know, a little crazy. But again, we're talking decades worth of, you know, happenstance where something like that could happen.
Yeah, he was just forgotten, you know, and like you said, when they built the new high school in the 50s, here you had this plaque that was unveiled in 1942 for his parents with the idea that, hey, this is going to be in our school forever. And all of a sudden it's sort of unceremoniously given back to the family. Like, here, we thought this would be best had with the family. About a decade and a half later, as they build the new high school, and then all of a sudden this old quaint thing just doesn't look like it fits with the new modern high school of the 50s. And so, and as what happens with history is that oftentimes history just gets forgotten. And part of what I wanted to do was to bring him back to the forefront. And I've had the great pleasure, because one of the students I've taken to Pearl Harbor is Harry's great, great nephew, Michael.
That's awesome.
So that was one of the great, to have a picture of me and him at his great, great uncle's grave was quite amazing.
And long story short, there is now a display about Harry, thanks to the work that you're doing. There is going to be an event for the book launch at the Heide Center in Chippewa Falls coming up this Sunday at 2. I'm looking forward to being part of that. And I'm looking forward to having you back so we can talk more about the writing process, the Gray Eagles book, and much more about, you know, Wisconsin history that you've been writing about, John. I'm just so thankful that you wrote this book. It's not for people just in Chippewa Falls. Anybody in Wisconsin can relate to this book. You can go to johnkinville.com and learn more about it. John, thanks again for the visit, the first of many, I hope.
Thank you. And thanks to your listeners. And also thank you for all your support for your community schools. We really do appreciate it. And I love my job every day. And my kids will be walking in here pretty soon. So I'm excited to start the day. Thanks, Pat.
Sounds great, John. Thanks so much. Have a great day. We will take this break. And then Chad Holmes will tell us what's happening up at Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. On the other side of this break, you're up north.
Yes, recall. Someday of all. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man.
I think we found the perfect theme song now for Chad Holmes. For every stop that he's got to make, for every sporting event or news story, even got down to Milwaukee. Although we were at opposite ends of American Family Field, so we didn't get to see each other. How are you, Chad? And did you enjoy the game?
I enjoyed it a lot. It was fun to go down there. It was a big bus of young people, and it was a lot of fun. It was really, really cool to be down there, and especially to be on the field. I've never been on the field before.
Yeah, remind folks why who the kids were that were on the field.
I was down there with the Newman Catholic football and boys basketball teams. We both won state championships, and they were honored, along with one other school who had won a state basketball championship. The Brewers bring out state champions from time to time, and they brought both Newman teams, so we took a bus down there, and they were nice enough to say, hey, come on down with us, and I was able to walk on the field with them and just enjoy it. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it's really cool to be down on any major league field like that. I mean, the Brewers lost that game, much as they lost to Detroit last night at 4-2. But still, you know, to be there for a game, you know, there's you can be on the field or you can be in the, you know, the nice seats that we had. I mean, I certainly haven't toured every ballpark, but I would certainly put American Family Field up there with any of them in terms of a great place to take in a ball game.
Oh, absolutely. And it was and actually one of the guys on the football team got a ball. There was we were down on the right field line, not too far up, but there was a foul ball and Yelich grabbed it in left field. I should say it was down the left field line. And he tossed it into the crowd. And one of the actually the quarterback of the football team grabbed it. He brought his glove with him and snagged it. And in fact, they were there last year too, because they had won football last year and he had caught a home run ball last year. So this young man,
this guy, a quarterback or a receiver? I don't understand.
So 2 years in a row, he got a ball, which is like insane.
So great. Yeah. Wow. So you're staying busy, even though we've been dealing with, I'm sorry, first we had like 90 degrees for a day or two, and now it's back into, you know, 10, 15 degrees below normal, but everybody's still out there playing games as best they're able.
Yeah, I haven't done a game in a week, but today I'll be doing a game, which will be fun. But yeah, when I go a week without a sports event, I start.
I was gonna say you look a little twitchy. Yeah,
I know, it's like I gotta get my fix here. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is, I was looking at the schedule. It's like we're about a month away from the playoffs. I mean, there's not a lot of time to make up these games for. It's gonna be a busy next 4 weeks for these baseball and softball teams.
Oh, without a doubt. Meanwhile, there's still the Chat Home Show, 2-4 on weekday afternoons. And so let's talk about who's been on there recently, starting with Her Honor, Mayor Katie Rosenberg from Wausau.
Yeah, I had Katie on last night. It's always fun to talk to her. And one of the things I like about Katie is some politicians, they want all the questions in advance. She just says, I'm going to come in, you ask me what I want, you ask whatever you want. So we spend usually either two or three segments, it's usually pretty much a full hour, talking about everything that's going on, and she's so open about it. And she recently announced she's going to be running for re-election. She just celebrated her third anniversary from being inaugurated, but she's decided she wants to go for one more term. Talked a little bit yesterday as well about some security issues over at City Hall. There's been some problems where some folks have been basically almost in City Hall that shouldn't be, and leading to some nervous moments for folks in City Hall. So we talked a little bit about that as well. So just always very open is Katie Rosenberg when she comes in talking about what's going on. And then later today, going to have the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher. And of course, we are in the midst of some consolidation at the schools here in Wausau. So going to get updated where they stand on that coming up later today at 3:15.
What do you think? How have folks been talking about Aaron Rodgers finally, you know, being traded to the Jets, and we begin the era of Jordan Love? Is it similar to the whole Brett Favre thing, that people were just tired and ready for him to move on, or am I reading it wrong? And there's still plenty of people that you know, wanted the news headlines out of it so that Rodgers would stay.
It seems like they're more ready for Aaron to move on than they were for Brett to move on, if I remember correctly. But, you know, as time goes by, sometimes those memories get a little skewed from what was going on. But it does feel like people were ready. It feels like, I think it's a combination of the drama aspect and the diminishing returns last year. I mean, for them to lose at home to Detroit in the final game of the year is so un-Rodgers-like, it's so un-Packers-like, that last season was a bit of a frustrating a season, and then to come back and have, you know, his days in the dark and all that stuff, it's like, all right, enough. I mean, it's time get a pretty good return on this. Maybe it's time to turn the page. And I think it also helped that Jordan Love played so well against Philadelphia last year. Yeah. I think people see that he does have the skills and that he could be a good NFL quarterback. It's time to find out. He's been sitting back there for 3 years, much like Aaron Rodgers did. Hey, maybe we got ourselves a guy, maybe not a Hall of Famer, but maybe a really good quarterback that we can get excited about. It's always that new flavor. It's nice to, you know, try something a little new once in a while to see whether or not as good as the it's like having a great meal. Well, you don't want to have to say a great meal every time. Maybe you want to try something a little different and get excited about that.
And that's what we've got here. Meanwhile, over on the Bucks, you almost called it last night when you tweeted that Jimmy Butler from the Miami Heat was on pace to score 88 points. And what did he end up with? I think 56 or something like that. I mean, the Bucks just had no answer to Jimmy Butler. And as a one-man wrecking crew, he tore apart a 14-point Bucks lead in the fourth quarter. And now the Bucks are facing elimination tomorrow night in Milwaukee. I can't say that I saw that coming.
No, and two things. Number one, it was a massive collapse. I mean, it's just, you can't be. It was 101 to 89 midway through the quarter, then just collapse.
And a 13-0 run is just, it's pretty much unforgivable.
And it was the way it happened. I mean, they're coughing it up, just, you know, made some bad plays. And also, I thought Butler, it reminded me of Michael Jordan. He took that team on his shoulders, and he was just Jordan-esque. I mean, he was hitting everything. It was a game for the ages. I mean, the combination of the collapse and Butler playing at a level that I think has been rarely hit in a playoff game in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they come up with a defense tomorrow night at the Fiserv Forum. What else you got coming ahead over the next day or more on the Chad Holmes show?
As I said, Jim Boucher today. It'll be interesting to get that latest on what's going on with the Wausau School Board. They had their organization meeting last night after the election with one new school board member. Find out about that and the continuing progress of consolidation. And looking forward to tomorrow, going to have a guy named Earl Ingram. We're going to talk a little bit about how issues in central Wisconsin do connect with issues in the bigger cities like Milwaukee and Madison, because I think Earl said it last week in a meeting we had that a lot of the issues are similar.
They are. Tried to tell people that as a legislator as well. Chad, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And all of you, thanks so much for being with us as well. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.